while you're blaming somebody else, you can't repent.
I was an alcoholic because of this happened, or I was involved with drugs because of that. You're still not taking responsibility for your actions. And if you're not taking responsibility for your actions, you can't ask God to forgive you.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee is teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we also have in the studio with us one of David McGee's assisting pastors. Pastor Neil, welcome.
All right, Bob, it is good to be here with you today as we're closing out 1 Samuel chapter 22. And Pastor David's going to really just challenge us to, you know what, Bob? Just apologize if you're wrong. I know we can sometimes get into a situation where we don't think it's our fault, so we have a hard time apologizing.
You know, I heard someone say, if you're just 1% at fault, you're still wrong and you still should apologize. And a lot of times that opens it up for the other person to accept responsibility as well.
When we focus on what is good, when we take responsibility for our own actions when we mess up, we can apologize and continue moving forward in our relationship with others.
You know, that sounds almost like a life lesson. So let's listen as David McGee shares, verse by verse, finishing up 1 Samuel chapter 22.
So tonight we are in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And what's going on here is David has been anointed as king, but Saul has not yet been removed as king. So Saul is still kind of a usurper that's in charge, and David at this point is on the run. He is a king kind of in hiding that at some point in the future will reign and rule. And we kind of see even in that a picture of Jesus, who right now is a king who is, he's in the picture, he is active on planet Earth, but right now, obviously, Satan has a lot of stuff going on the planet, but at some point in the future, praise God, we can look forward to the fact that Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this book. Lord, it's so much more than words written on a page. Lord, and we ask that you would take these words and these letters and that you would write them on our hearts tonight. Lord, you know where each and every person in here is with their relationship with you. I just ask that you would do a work in and amongst us tonight. Lord, we know that you desire to teach us lovingly, patiently, kindly. Lord, we just ask that you would make us willing to learn from you. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to your word and open your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Verse 5. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herath. And when Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah with his spear in his hand and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there's not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Doeg lied. He lied. Now, he says three things here. He said, they gave him provisions and they gave him the sword. That much is true. But the really treacherous thing he laid out, he inquired of the Lord for him. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Is Doeg reporting the fact? Some of them. But see, that's what happens sometimes in conversations, isn't it? That's why gossip is so malicious. It's rare in gossip that somebody simply presents the facts. They have their unique little twist or their interpretation of the facts that they combine with the facts, and then it all seems much more sinister. And certainly in our lives, we've been in positions where we saw something, well, that looks bad, that looks weird. And then later on we find out it wasn't that bad and it wasn't that weird. And hopefully you didn't tell anybody else how bad or how weird you thought it was, or you felt really sheepish later. Well, Doeg's being a liar. And that's what happens when it gossip. There's a lot of times there's half-truths and sometimes outright lies mixed in with it. Verse 11. So the king sent, if I ever skip a verse and just reading through, y'all are deputized and authorized to bring my attention to. I don't ever intend to, but if I do, do it while I'm in the meeting, okay? Verse 11. So the king sent to Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king, and Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." He answered, "Here I am, my lord." And then Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day?" The background information, David went to this place called Nob, and the priest said, "Hey, what are you doing out by yourself?" And David lied. David said, "Well, I'm on a mission from the king." And, you know, Ahimelech didn't have the details. And he didn't understand what was going on. And David should not have done that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But had David told Ahimelech could have made the decision either to go ahead and give David provisions and give David safety or to not. And then he would have been prepared for this meeting with Saul. But you know what's really interesting? Watch Ahimelech's response, because it's not what you would think it was. It would be in verse 14. So Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, and who is the king's son-in-law who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house?" The first thing Ahimelech does is defends David. He doesn't defend himself. He defends David. What an awesome man this is. I mean, it is the natural fleshly inclination to defend yourself in a situation like this. But Ahimelech says, "Hey, who's more faithful than David?" And he points out the fact to Saul that, you know what, David has been faithful to you. Verse 15, "Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father, for your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much." See, here's the deal. In some of the commentaries, they say, well, you know, maybe he did inquire. No. You've got Doeg and you've got Ahimelech. Ahimelech says he didn't do it. In the same breath, he's saying David's faithful. I believe Ahimelech more than I believe Doeg. But what happens? Verse 16. And the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." You see, death seems to follow those who carry spears around, looking for what's wrong with the other person. And people get hurt. A sad thing is, a lot of times the people who get hurt the worst are the people that are carrying the spears. And the people around them, their loved ones, their friends, their brothers and sisters in the Lord in their fellowship. And a lot of innocent bystanders get hurt. We need to practice putting our spears down. In verse 17, then the king, speaking of Saul, said to the guards who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servants of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priest of the Lord." What Saul was doing was totally unacceptable. He was condemning these people without any sort of court, without any sort of trial. And he's condemning them to death for something that was not laid out in Levitical law as being a capital offense, a capital crime. And these guys said, "We're not doing it. We're not doing it." It was an act of civil disobedience is what this is called. It's when there's an obvious decision that needs to be made between what the laws of the land say, or the rulers, and what God's word says. Now, at times we may be in a position in this land, but I think that's a rare exception. So be very careful about this. There's been people that have said, well, I'm being civilly disobedient. I'm not going to pay my taxes because I'm following the Lord. But wait a minute. Jesus himself said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Give unto God's what is God's. He held up a coin that had the image of Caesar and said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, who image are we made in? We're made in the image of God. He said, give unto God's what is God's. Incidentally, one of the lost gospels, you know, you hear this, it's just this regurgitated garbage, but, you know, I've read some of them and most of them, but one of them, when they retell that story, they have Jesus say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God's what is God, and give me what is mine. I mean, it's just not something that Jesus would say, but they're not going to do it. They chose not to obey.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. David wants to offer you peace where it could be lacking, help in your time of need, and build you up with these free resources at youareloved.org. Now, back to David McGee.
Look how far Saul has fallen. It was just a few chapters ago that he was unwilling to wipe out the Amalekites. Wasn't willing to do it. It's a big thing because Samuel shows up and there's all these guys that were supposed to be wiped out still alive. And yet now he's willing to do to the house of God what he was not willing to do to the Amalekites. You know why? Because sin snowballs. That's what sin does. You find yourself doing things that you don't want to do. You find yourself staying longer in that state than you ever wanted to stay. It's interesting, in my personal devotions, I'm going through the book of Revelation, and you see all these things going on in the tribulation. And the statement that keeps coming up is, and they did not repent of their deeds. All these horrible things are going on, and they're hardening their heart more against God. Friend, don't do that. When you go through hard times, soften your heart. Don't harden your heart. You've got a decision to make. And I've seen people get in positions and they begin to harden their heart towards God and they wind up in a place they don't want to be. And we see people walking around the earth. And the amazing thing is that God, even after this, God will still leave Saul in authority. Boy, that's amazing to me. He's still not going to take him out. It's still going to be a while after this and God still leaves him in position of power and authority. That just shows the grace and mercy of God, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that God's not watching and God doesn't care. A lot of people are mistakenly making that judgment call today. When 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says this, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us why he's waiting. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's waiting. And while I would wish he would come back tonight, I realize that had he come back a year ago, some of you would not be called up. If he came 5 years ago, many here would not be called up. So I'm glad he's waiting. never think that it's because he's being slack towards his promise. Verse 18. The king said to Doeg, "You turn and kill the priest." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. They were priests. They were unarmed. So Doeg's a real winner, isn't he? Verse 19. Also Nob, the city of the priest, he struck with the edge of the sword both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and donkeys and sheep with the edge of the sword. The world is a cold, hard place. Verse 20, now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abiathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul." But read carefully his next sentence. "I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house." It's a great principle. David doesn't blame Doeg. He blames himself. So we have a decision. We're confronted with wrongdoing. Whether we're going to blame somebody else or we're going to understand that we did wrong. To blame somebody else is easy. Actually, it comes very naturally, doesn't it? It's been happening a long time. Remember in the garden when God said, "What did you do?" And Adam, instead of saying, "Hey, I messed up," Adam blamed two people, God and Eve. "It was that woman you gave me." So he blamed the woman and he blamed God. And that's what we do. And now we've perfected it to this art form where you read in the paper and you read people do these horrible acts. They go into these schools or post offices or businesses and they kill all these people and they say, "Why did you do that?" And they say, "Well, my mama didn't love me enough as a child. Had separation anxiety." You can always find an excuse. But it takes a lot of strength to say, "You know what? I'm wrong. I was wrong. I caused that. I did that." And see, the thing is, the key, why this is so important, is while you're blaming somebody else, you can't repent. While you're going, "Well, this person caused the problem. I was an alcoholic because of this happened, or I was involved with drugs because of that, or I was sexually promiscuous because of this." You're still not taking responsibility for your actions. And if you're not taking responsibility for your actions, you can't ask God to forgive you. You can't say, "Well, God, forgive that other person for what they did to me." You can't confess the sins of others. That's not the way that it works. You have to be willing to confess your sins. And David does that. The life lesson here, we should take responsibility for our actions when we mess up. We should take responsibility for our actions when we mess up. When I'm talking to somebody and I'm bringing something to their attention and they immediately begin to explain why they did what they did, I know they're not getting it. I know they're not taking responsibility for their actions. Why? Because they're explaining what outside influences happened that they did that wrong. You know what? Does that really matter? It really doesn't. And this is a key principle when you're talking to somebody and when you're being confronted with wrong or somebody, you know, or you're confronting somebody. See, when you start going, "Well, and you've heard this many different versions, you know, you really shouldn't have yelled at me and said those things to me." And somebody goes, "Well, I'm sorry, but you made me angry." That's not an apology, guys. You're slipping in there why you did it. And that if that person wouldn't have done that, then you wouldn't have done this. You're really still not taking your responsibility for your actions. Thing is to say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong." And that, you know, for some reason, human nature, that's one of the hardest things in the world to do, isn't it? Just to leave it at, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," period. You understand when you use the word "but," it's a verbal eraser. In other words, everything you said up to that point really doesn't matter. "I'm really sorry I did that, but you shouldn't have said that." And what is that really, that statement is really saying? "You shouldn't have said that." It's very convicting, isn't it? Verse 23, "Stay with me, do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe." Abiathar will end up to be a priest in David's court, in the temple. And he's a godly man. And notice what David is doing. And if you're taking notes, you want to jot this down. Psalm 52, Psalm 57, Psalm 142 are all tied to this time in David's life. Psalm 52, 57, 142, you can read them later. They all tie into this time in David's life. David has every reason in the world to be mad and to be bitter here, but he makes a decision. He makes a decision not to do any of those things, but to focus on God. And we'll see in the lives of other people, including Saul, what happens when they get self-centered and this root of bitterness starts to occur in their life and how tragic their lives end up. That's one of the reasons we talk about serving so much, because serving is being others-centered. It's being other-centered. And so as we help people become other-centered, they become more and more of a disciple and less focused on themselves. Why? Because it's inconvenient to serve, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's reality. You show up early, stay late. All that's inconvenient. You have to understand you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing it for other brothers and sisters. And once you start to get a hold of that, you're acting more and more like Jesus. And that is being a disciple. And Hebrews 12:15 warns us. It says, look after each other so that none of you will miss out on the special favor of God. Watch out that no bitter root of unbelief rises up among you, for whenever it springs up, many are corrupted by its poison. Notice that phrase, bitter root of unbelief. Bitterness and unbelief. Why are the two tied together so often in Scripture? Because see, here's the thing. If you're bitter about your circumstances, you're forgetting that those circumstances were filtered through the hand of God. And you look up at God and say, God, you don't know what you're doing. I'm upset because you put me in this position. And I don't think you know what you're doing. God knows what's best for you. Psalm 57:7 says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. It's a decision. Sometimes we need to make the decision to praise the Lord. And sometimes that's a difficult decision. Sometimes we need to make the decision not to pick up spears in our lives. What about you? Are you carrying around spears tonight? Put them down. Are you bitter about something? Is there somebody you haven't forgiven in your life? Is there some action that you're really responsible for that you've been blaming other people for? Don't do that anymore. You understand, you're getting trapped in that because while you're blaming other people, you still have not taken responsibility for your actions. And you're wrapped up in all this bondage. And friend, that's no way to live, and it's certainly no way to die. But you have to make that decision. David decided not to focus on himself, but to focus on the Lord. My hope and my prayer is tonight you will make the same decision. Each and every one of us has a decision to make. If you've been convicted tonight, if you've been convinced that you've done these things, that's a great start. But now what needs to happen is you need to follow through with that great start. You need to follow through on that conviction of the Holy Spirit and ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you with whatever situation is going on in your life. And he's willing to do that. See, you don't have to get cleaned up and get everything straightened up in your life nice and tidy before you come to God. You come to God and God begins to change your life. That's what God does. And for many of us to go, well, I'm going to work through this. And then when I work through this, I'll approach God about this. No, you got it all backwards. You got it all backwards. God said, Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to heal the healthy. Came to heal the sick. And so we can come to Jesus just the way we are.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.